We have to ask Ray how he got the name Pee-wee, because there's only two people I've ever heard call him Pee-wee. It's Kevin Dineen and Joel Quenneville. Like, it's like they're the only ones allowed.
I kind of feel like those are the two that were kind of outgoing in the dressing room. Maybe Q and Dineen sat beside each other and just sat and chirped the room type of thing.
But if you're not those two guys, like anybody tried to call Ray Pee-wee, he would scratch your eyes out.
That would be my assumption, is that it's not a name he's overly fond of, but he's okay with it because those are two of his good buddies. Like, he and Kevin Dineen came up together, right? They were in the minors together, rookies together. Like, they're very, very close. So I'm sure he's cool with that. I'm sure he's got a name for Dineen, probably got a name for Quenneville as well. But if some rookie walked into the room in Atlanta and started calling him that, I'm not sure it goes over well.
No. Wow. When I was at Kevin Stanley Cup party, Q was there and we were talking. He was like, "How's Pee-wee?" I was like, "What?" Like, who's Pee-wee? Like, you're not allowed to call him Pee-wee. No one calls him Pee-wee except those two.
Yeah, everyone calls him Chicken Parm. Like, Ron Francis called him Chicken Parm in the last hour. And John Buccigross, I think, is a guy who is committed to that from ESPN, and he and Ray are close.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's how it started, that Ray was eating, like, Chicken Parm every night at ESPN when he was an analyst. And he was doing, like, in-studio work and just every single day. And same thing with Wade Boggs. Like, Wade Boggs, his name on Twitter and his nickname around the sporting world is the Chicken Man, because he eats, like, exclusively chicken. He doesn't eat steak. He doesn't eat pork.
It should be Coors Light, isn't it?
That should
be the greatest sign ever invented on college game day. When that guy held up the sign and said, "I saw Wade Boggs drink 109 Coors Lights from Boston to New York on a flight."
You're right.
And he gets called out and asked, and he said, "Yeah, I did."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, he tries to dodge it, but he's like, "Yeah, you know, it was a long trip, and we had to make a stop." Yeah. And then you got to remember, we're taking buses. Like, he tries to justify it.
No, I know. He's like, "I had 10 in the room after the game, and then 10 on the bus ride, and then I had 25 on the flight. Then I had 15 more from the bus to the hotel." And he's like, "I had 100 beers, so I did."
But you got to remember, cross-country flight, time zones. Yeah. It's like, dude, you had 109 beers. Like, I don't care if you're going to the moon and back. That's ridiculous. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm thinking about Wade Boggs. You know, he had a cookbook, right, that he sold, all the chicken recipes, apparently, that he used to eat?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, when he was with the Red Sox. And then the 109 beers thing, like, what was he keeping, like, bottle caps?
It must have been. Someone must have been. I'll bet you this is what happened. There was a guy on the team that said, "The next time we fly to L.A., I am watching him exclusively." Because
we all know the one guy that, like, light beer, they can hammer 50 of them and not feel anything.
I've done it before, guys. I counted beers of a teammate at a year-end party because, just for fun, a couple of us were like, "How many do you think this guy's going to take down?" And we were over 40. Like, he had no problem putting 40 down.
Man.
40.
Like, that's, like, more than a case of, like, you put a case of beer on ice, that should, like, provide entertainment for you and three buddies. But that's taking down.
The best thing about those guys, let's say you're jumping on another flight the next day, and he goes, "Grab me a water at the store," and you buy him a 1 liter water. He goes, "1 liter? What are you doing? Like, I need, like, 350 tops." Like, how could he possibly consume a liter of water?
I know someone in the industry, Brian, that there was a situation in the dressing room where someone in the media, and we're not going to talk out of school here and name names, but came in the dressing room and went in the fridge and just hammered back a Diet Coke. And then when he was done, like, he guzzled it, he looked at the can and said, "Oh, my God, that's a Coors Light."
I know exactly who you're talking about, and I love it.
Yeah,
it's the greatest.
Like, he would always
story
come
ever
in the room and grab a Diet Coke, and he just hammered it back, and he looked at it, and he's like, "Oh my God, that's a Coors Light." And it's like, you knew it was a Coors Light. You knew.
Yeah. When that thing touched your lips, you knew it was, but you knew you couldn't stop.
Anyone else would say, oh, my God, I don't need that right now at this time of day. But he just guzzled the thing and looked at it and said, oh, no, that's not a Diet Coke. That's a Coors Light.
It's so good.
Legend.
I love
yeah.
it.
No, that's true. You start counting. It's such an idiotic thing to do.
But didn't you do that when you were, like, I don't know, later teens or whatever? Like,
yeah.
You'd be
yeah.
at your Bush party, and you're like, someone would go, how many beers have you had? And you'd dig into your pocket and go, six. Because yeah. you had, like, six ripped-off tabs from the can.
Right. Like, it meant
At least
something.
That's what we used to do anyway, or six bottle caps from Kokanee beer, which was the beer out here in the Kootenays.
Yeah.
In B.C., and you'd be like, six. But, of course, you'd probably taken two from somebody else because you really only had four. But it was cooler to say six.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and in Alberta, if you drank a bottle of Silk Tassel, which is, I don't even know if they make that whiskey anymore.
I've never heard of
that. I had long
what
enough hair.
What is it called, Noodles?
Silk Tassel, and it came with like a tassel around it. And I had long enough hair. If you finished the bottle, you put your hair in a ponytail with a tassel. And let you. It's a badge of honor that you've just destroyed a bottle of whiskey.
It's like used underwear. That's what I picture.
That just reeks of a bar fight, drinking Silk Tassel. Like, just
yeah,
punch someone in the face.
I think it was $7 a bottle or something. Something ridiculous.
God.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just, like, you could run a rocket ship on it, too. Like, it wasn't, like, legitimate. Like, I don't even know if it's around anymore, but it was Silk Tassel.
Gas.
Yeah, it's
There's
basically...
nothing better than witnessing it. I've witnessed it recently with the COVID stuff. Like, lining up. I saw it a couple weeks ago. Some, like, 12 people deep. 20 minutes to get in there. Some guy beelines it right for a Mickey, like the worst whiskey on earth, and checks out, and he's gone.
And it's like, know that fires into the coffee mug, into the car, and he is gone.
That's not
immediately. Waiting in line for like a $7 Mickey of whiskey. Just had to have it.
Just gritty.
Yeah.
I'm looking online. I still think Silk Tassel's alive and well. It's in a plastic bottle.
Yeah,
no way.
It's whiskey in a plastic bottle.
Can that bottle hold the Silk Tassel?
I don't know. Burn right
through
it.
Or does it eat away at it?
They're all
about the environment. We have to ask you, we've had a couple of Hartford Whalers on this show today. Who is the one, and we're not, like, we don't ever call you Pee-wee, but which guy on that team gave you that nickname?
Oh, Joel Quenville.
Yeah. That's what Ron
Francis. Hey, Pee-wee, one day, and then...
If Joel called you something, he would say it relentlessly until it stuck. And it was, hey, Pee-wee, how's it going, Pee-wee? What's up, Pee-wee? Hey, where are you going, Pee-wee? You going to dinner, Pee-wee? And pretty soon you're like, you're calling yourself Pee-wee.
I know, but how come Pee-wee? Like, what did he just say? Like,
short, you're tiny. Oh, wait, you're a Pee-wee. You're a little Pee-wee. Yeah.
So what did
I would
call
have
him?
I would have punched him right in the face and be like, don't call me that.
Look at Joel. How could you do that? How could you even think that? He would have Dean Evason and I, well, not he, but I always used to say I was way taller than Dean. And I'm not sure that I am, but I think I am. And so they'd always do these things because I'd get so PO'd and they'd make us, you know, they'd measure us and they'd go, no, Dean's a quarter inch taller. And I'd get so mad. But I don't even know if it's true or not.
Well,
the other question is, why the hell did so many guys on that team, like, did you guys say to each other, let's grow mustaches and, like, let's have a thick mustache? Like, you guys all had mustaches.
Look at the style on that. That was solid. Right?
It was great.
Come on.
It has to be.
Obviously, Ray, I'm not a mustache guy, but looking back on it, like, you guys must have said, like, this is cool, let's do this. And you were all in, like literally everyone, except Ronnie and Kevin.
Yeah, well, because neither of them could grow one.
Right.
I'm sure they couldn't. Now, Dave Babich comes to our team. So Babs is like, you know, he's the missing link, right?
Hairiest man in the league.
And so one day he shaves his mustache off. Like, it was, when you see something so absurd, it was like Babs with no mustache. And he walked in just like, you know, to make an entrance. And we were, like, dying on the floor. And he's like, okay, that's it. I'm growing it back. It's like he had it grown back by noon the next day.
Right. Just immediate.
But when he shaved it off, it was like it was like he painted his skin green. Like, you couldn't even imagine it. But there were, like, yeah, there were some pretty good pretty good stashes on that team. Dave Tippett had a really, when Tippy shaved his off when he was coaching, it was like, oh my God, it's like half his face disappeared.
Well, that it just becomes a part of you. Like if you're a mustache guy, like we joke about the Tab Man, Jim Taddy, he is.
I don't
quite
think he can do it, Brian.
Quite literally had that stash for like 45 years.
But it would look awkward too. Like you would see his upper lip for the first time. Like, and what if it doesn't look right? Like, what if it's discolored or something because it hasn't seen daylight in 50 years? You know
what
I mean?
Opposite of smoking.
Exactly.
I think just for sport, Pat should shave it off just one time.
I feel bad for the guy that has the stash and he has the dart, like the smoke look on it, and it's like
yellow.
Yeah, he ate Cheetos and rubbed his chin all morning.
It's yellow.
Oh yeah,
it's like, got to be a blonde stash or goatee, pretty much. But if it is. Yeah, you're right. If he's been chewing on like Des Mauriers for 30 years, it's just permanently. Like, and I would assume he gave it a shot at one point and been like, I'm going to try to get rid of this. But even the new hairs come back with the cigarette. It's
so
steeped into the skin.
Guy, you think that guy shaved and then it came back that color?
Yes, without smoking. He could quit today and it would still be there 20 years.
Yeah, just a dark black haircut and he grows a yellow mustache.
Just in the roots. It's never leaving. All right, so do we all do our homework? Like, I'm sure none of us actually did.
I did.
Okay.
I've got a list here. I'm
ready
to
roll.
We all
did. Okay, so yesterday we brought up the idea of doing, looking back on the NHL awards. We're going to basically announce the award winners, according to us. And, Ray, you did your homework. You're all good?
Yep, I just had to check to see if I still had the list. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so why don't we begin with, I feel like this would be a sweep, but let's begin with the Hart Trophy. We'll start with the big boy, and then we'll work down from there.
Let's just go around the horn, Hayes. It's around the horn.
All right, quickly.
Yeah, we all got him. Draisaitl.
I got Draisaitl.
I have Draisaitl.
Yeah, Draisaitl, Panarin, Pastrnak, MacKinnon for me. So
yeah. Draisaitl. I didn't even go past one, so I didn't complete my homework.
The assignment, Hayes.
Right. But Draisaitl, I think when McDavid went out and he elevated his game, that secured it for me. Like, it was over at that point. He had such a great year.
I think he had a great year. This is, you know, and you could take it a step further, Brian. We were talking about the matchups coming back. Like, and even yesterday we talked about it. There is no guarantee that Leon Draisaitl, when the Oilers come back, he's having that Hart season. Like, you expect it out of him. You expect it because he's so talented. But he was having the type of season where, you know, he was dominating physically. Everything, he was touching was the right play. Like, to me, he learned to play away from the puck. But there's no guarantee that he's going to hit the ground running. Like, I expect him to. But, you know, that's the type of scenario where he's had a flat-out Hart season. I thought there was a time where he was the best player. McDavid's a video game. But I thought Draisaitl was the best player available on the ice.
Yep. Okay, so we're all in agreement on that. The Norris, the best defenseman. Ray, who do you have for the Norris?
I think we're around the horn again. John Carlson, no?
I don't.
Nope. I got Josi.
I got Josi as well.
Yeah, I hedged my – I had Josi down, but then I went back to Carlson. I'm going to say Carlson. I think Carlson's been a fantastic player, and I know a lot of his points come on, especially, you know, setting Ovi up on that power play at the top of the umbrella. But I think Carlson's one of those guys who's been a really effective player. This is almost, and maybe I'm part of the guilty here, like the lifetime achievement, and I think Josi deserves that too. Like, Yossi's been a perennial, or should have been a perennial finalist, but always overlooked because there's somebody else had a better season, all of that.
Well,
I think Carlson falls into that.
Jamie and Ray, you guys both vote on these awards. Me and Brian don't. But how much do you think, like, somebody posts that article that says, this guy should be talked about in the Norris. Like, how much does that feed the animal where people are like, oh, well, maybe we do have to consider this guy? I think it's a big factor.
I think it depends on the guy.
Right.
Like, on the voter. Like, I try and take in as much information as I can to, you know, like, I make my picks and then I – kind of go backwards from my picks, and I change a lot. Like, I move guys around, and I generally don't have a guy come from ninth place to win an award. Like, I might move somebody from third to second, or maybe from second to first if I do a little research. For me, the difference, like, to that stuff, oh, like, this, some of the articles is, like, with Carlson, he had such a crazy start to the year.
Yeah.
Like, he had 40 points, like, it seemed like immediately. Yossi's leading their team in scoring, and I just felt he was, like, he was the best D this year. But these are, there's a couple awards, I don't know what you guys think, like, if it's one guy or the other, I'm kind of okay with both. But for me, I voted for Yossi.
Yeah, I agree. This is a coin flip. Like, this could go either way, and I don't think there'll be outrage. But I also look at the players that they have to play with, where Washington is clearly more talented. And that's not, you know, Carlson's fault, but it benefits him, where Yossi, for him to lead his team in points, and they're a playoff team now, I think that was significant as well. If they were going to miss the playoffs, which they might have, if they wrapped up the 82-game season, it might have hurt
right.
Yossi. But based on these standards, they're in, and they're likely playing Arizona.
The last comment they're going to make on Yossi is, I think PK Subban going there for, I don't know, what was it, three seasons? I think that took some rust off of Yossi's legacy, where it's like it took a little bit of attention away, and he got, like, spotlight minutes. And I just think that he would have really been the guy for, like, those two or three years. He was, like, in his prime, and that could have really been a good time for him, and PK was there.
You're right. Oh, but also the fact that they traded PK away, like, and there was not even, like, a question. Like, around the league, talking to guys in Nashville, talking to guys who played there, like, there were
he was
so
always the guy anyway.
Roman Yossi was the best defenseman on that team, even when PK Subban was coming
that's
off.
That's why
the
I brought it up, Jamie.
That's the point.
I'm like, that's it's like this guy was. There's so many people that every time PK Subban, like, walks out of a restaurant, it's like, oh, he's the greatest defenseman of all time. It's like Yossi's been there the whole time. You talk to anybody there, they're like, this. Yossi is he's the guy.
He's the guy.
Okay, but you know what? Like, along those lines, like, Yossi brings, you know, has almost no flair to his game. He's just great everywhere. In
That's
my
right.
mind, it's a little bit like Victor Hedman without the size.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hedman's awesome, but there's no flair to the game.
Right.
So we notice, and public notices more, the flair. Because when Subban was there, he put together a couple of fantastic years.
Oh, yeah.
And
they went to that cup final. He was great that year.
So that defense has been so good for so long, and I think you probably get swept up as just being one of the best defensemen on the best defense in the league. But this year, for me, he kind of jumped away because there was nobody else in that group with him on his own team.
Okay, yeah. How about the Vezina? Noodles, you start. Who do you have for the Vezina?
Hellebuyck. I think
Hellebuyck too.
Yeah, Hellebuyck, I think, was the hands down. I think Vasilevsky started to turn it on and was pushing him. But
guy, Vasilevsky. I had to get away from the normal pick because I know you guys were all going to say Hellebuyck. But Vasilevsky.
That's not a bad pick. I think Vasilevsky would probably be the runner-up. So, yeah. I mean. You know.
I'll admit that knowing that 12 teams are in the playoffs, it almost allows me to be like, yeah, I'll go Hellebuyck because I don't know if he would win. As stupid as it is, we have the same conversation every year. If you miss the playoffs, should you be up for an award?
Right.
I wish they would just establish that, yes, everyone should be included. That's how I would approach it. But I understand why people don't. Like, I understand why the heart is tough to hand out to a guy on a team that didn't make the playoffs. I get that.
Right.
But with Yossi as an example, Nashville's in, so I think he gets it. Winnipeg, they're in based on this circumstance. They might have got there anyway. But that leads me to say Hellebuyck. I mean, his stats
Hellebuyck
would indicate that too, but
he should win this for danger pay.
Yeah,
and that guy, he got pelted all year. He had an amazing year.
Yeah, he did. Great. I think they got their act together by the end of the season. Some of the players had stabilized, but early on when they were still trying, when Lucas Spezza like was a guy they were like really like relying on, that's when Hellebuyck was making his money.
The Calder, Rookie of the Year. Ray, who do you have?
I have Makar and Hughes in a dead heat, and I change my mind almost weekly on this whenever I think about it. I'm going to pick Hughes.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Hughes, too. I just thought he's a dominant player as a rookie defenseman.
Man, oh, I go back and forth on these two. Like, they're both, I think they'll both win a Norris. Yep. By the time's all said and done, but
agreed.
I'm going to pick Hughes just by, like, a hair.
I had Makar. I mean, Makar, if Makar got injured, he got injured, so yeah. If you go in points per game, he actually had more, and I'm not just looking at the stats, but, like, there were times where, I mean, McKinnon is such a beast. There were times where I thought Makar was the best player on the ice in watching Colorado, and I watched them a lot this year. Like, that guy is an absolute machine. And he's not shy to get involved physically. He's got a bomb from the point. Wants to lead the rush. Like, he wants the puck.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
when
this guy...
The only reason I took Hughes over him is because I know Makar has that flash and dash, but I think Quinn Hughes, his best asset, is, and if you're not like a hockey person, you might not pick up on it, but he controls the pace of play just by having the puck and his movement and his edges. And when he gets that puck in the neutral zone, it's like, it's all depending on what I do here. It's like Lidstrom. It's just like, I got it, I'm going to control it, and I'm going to control the pace of play. And to have the ability to do that is special.
Oh, they're both special. There's no arguing. Like, Ray's right. Like, I think it's a coin flip, legitimately. Like, it's a coin flip. But I just, before that injury for Makar, like, he was as good as anybody on the back
so
end.
So good. He was getting some Norris talk earlier.
Well, that's what I'm talking.
Like, at least nominated, anyway.
Yeah,
not to win
would
it.
Would you take Hayes?
With Hughes. I went with Hughes as well. I think the Makar injury, this again is something that I shouldn't use against Makar, but he got a taste of the NHL last year. And Quinn Hughes, it took him about 10 games to get going. But once he did, he's their number one guy. And Makar is as well in Colorado. But I think Vancouver is a weaker team than Colorado, not substantially. But for Quinn Hughes to play the minutes that he plays, to control the game the way he does, it's a coin flip, though. It really is. I would lean Quinn Hughes, but as you said, Ray, I might change my mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do we have here? What about the Jack Adams, Coach of the Year? Jack Adams.
I chose Dave Tippett.
Tippett in Edmonton, nice.
I mean, that's a team that needed structure, right? Especially, you know, you had injuries, inconsistencies. This is a guy who started, you know, moving players around, trying to find matchups. And, you know, I think he protects his goaltenders. He's getting what he can out of those players. He's, you know, he hasn't been shy to kind of be vocal about top players and them not playing well. Like, you know, Edmonton was really fortunate to have him help stabilize. Him and Jimmy Playfair helped stabilize that situation. I thought they had a fantastic year.
They did. Their special teams were unreal.
I had Mike Sullivan. Yeah. I thought they had a bunch of injuries, and he just kind of – I thought it was just a great coaching job, Mike Sullivan, for me.
Yeah, you're right.
I picked Torts. They have no players.
Another good pick, man.
Great call. That's a great pick. Great pick.
And they had no goalies. They had
– No players.
Yeah,
totally disarray, and they had over 80 points.
Yeah,
like, they were
going to
have a 90-point season, and I'm like, remember at the end there, they're playing without Seth Jones. Atkinson had been hurt a whole bunch of the year. I think they were down 5 regulars and one of the goalies. I forget which one got hurt at the end. And I just thought Torts did an amazing job this year.
Torts is one I hadn't thought of him. Like, I forgot him. I don't know why, but you're right. You made a great case for him. The fact that, like, Panarin leaves, Bobrovsky leaves, everyone turns their back on that organization.
Duchesne leaves.
But Duchesne injuries,
walks.
Too. Injuries, too.
They were
like
on
crazy.
Third-string goalies at some point, and they're in. And they were probably going to get in legitimately. Maybe they were just going to miss, but they really might have been a top-8 team. I'm going to go – it's a bit greasy here, and just because I picked him in the preseason, so I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to Lane Vigneault in Philly.
Good pick. That's a good pick.
That's the turnaround that usually wins the award, right? Barry Trotz in New York. We've seen it before with guys who show up. Now, Dave Tippett's an example out west. First year in Edmonton, team that was in disarray and turned it around and added structure. But you've got –
You look at that Vigneault's record, Brian. Like, wherever he goes, he's got to close the deal and win one, but he wins, man.
Like, he turns teams around.
Yeah.
It's like Peter Laviolette, Elaine Vigneault, Bruce Boudreau does it. You know, there's a handful of guys. Yeah, they just win right off the bat. They get there and they win. We're all on – that's weird. We all have 4 different guys. I guess that's not actually that surprising. The coach of the year is always – you can come at it any – because you could make a case for Bruce Cassidy in Boston and say, what about me?
Yep.
First overall. How about the coaching job I'm doing?
And given, I think there are legitimately five or six candidates this year, and that wouldn't be a bad pick. Like, that's really, you know, when you're looking at it, you know, Jared Bednar, like, why in Colorado?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, there's a half dozen that you wouldn't have a problem with.
Even John Cooper, I think he just gets overlooked because it's like, oh, you got such a good team. You're supposed to win those games. You still got to coach the team.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to – it's almost hard to win if your team is too good. You know, like you guys brought up Cassidy.
Exactly.
And it's like you can almost go, yeah, but they've got 100 points 3 years in a row or whatever it is. And you're like
– so what?
Yeah, but that's – he's still coaching it. Like, he's done a hell of a job. He's clearly one of the best coaches in the league.
Yep. Yeah, clearly. You got to keep them on the rails. You got to keep them motivated and pushing forward, and he does it. All right, buddy, have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Okay, talk to you then, boys. Have a good weekend. Hayes, keep hitting them straight. Some pretty good video there.
Oh, how about that? Like, break down the swing quickly. 10-second breakdown. Quality, right?
200 is not even in the game. You were fine.
Thank
you.
You
were fine. Outside of that left-handed putting thing, you were fine.
Out of time, buddy. We're out of time. We got to go.
All right, 5-second review. Thanks, Ray.
See you, buddy.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. That's great news out of our friends from Maple Toyota.